KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, special 3-hour edition. Sit back, relax. I am going to fix your love life. I promise. At least I'm going to try and educate you. I'm just so obsessed with the science of love, with the biological, the psychological, and the social pieces of love. And as I say every week, and if you're new to my show, it is because our choice of romantic partner is the single most important decision we can make in our life for our mental health, for our physical health, for our wealth. Yeah, long-term committed couples live longer, have better mental health, and accumulate more wealth. Nothing's more expensive than maintaining two houses and paying divorce lawyers and alimony and everything else. Having said that, later in the show, I want to talk about, is it a good idea to open up your marriage? Mm-hmm. I know. Jada Pinkett and Will Smith have brought that conversation into the forefront of this country. And let me explain the risks, the ramifications, and who can actually tolerate that. It may be you, but there's a good chance it's not. Before we get going, let's do a roll call and see who we have here. Mark Ronner, we got you in the newsroom?
Right here. Got your back.
Good. Okay. If you hear anything interesting, jump right in. I say something wrong, you better correct me.
Will do.
He's a news guy. He's all about accuracy here.
If you say so.
We got producer Kayla sitting right here. I like your glasses.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wendy.
Terrible,
I like yours.
Terrible thing to say on radio, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Check out our glasses, everybody. No, you can't see them. This is radio. You can go onto my TikTok channel where I do wear my glasses from time to time, but no Kayla's hot glasses there. We got David on the board. Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good. You're going to watch the clock for me as usual.
I got you.
I get on these tangents. Okay, can we talk about what happened to me last night? So I have a dear friend who had a 50th birthday, and because of COVID, it was all canceled. I probably received millions of emails about this birthday, and they kept referring it to Jesse's girl. Jesse's girl is turning 50. And I'm like, what? I was never a Rick Springfield fan, so I didn't quite get the reference. I didn't know the whole story. But she got her husband to hire Rick Springfield to perform for her birthday party. She was adorable when she got up on stage to do a little chat before he came on. She told a story, and this does relate to attachment, attachment anxiety, attachment injuries, attachment wounds. Listen, this isn't just gossip about a social occasion. She started off, though, by making some funny jokes. Like, she said to her husband, like, what do? I'm turning 50. You want to upgrade the ring? Do you want to take me on a vacation? And I looked at him and said, no. I would like Rick Springfield. And her husband said, how much can a rock star cost? Apparently a lot, because her husband came back to her, I'm sure this is a joke, and said, you know, it might be cheaper for me to just pay for you to spend one night with him alone.
Oh my God.
And she said, and you should know I was fully prepared to take one for the team. She used to be a local news reporter in town, and she's very funny. Honestly, I wrote her an email today saying, I think you need to switch to stand-up comedy. Her Christmas cards are so hysterical that I keep them on the mantle for half the year because the jokes are so good. I mean, when her daughter graduated college, she said, if you want to see what millennials are doing with a college degree now, look at her cat on Instagram where she's making a living. Her cat. I'm like, oh my gosh. Anyway, that daughter, who's now like 30 and manages influencers, ever came up to me and she's like, I love your content. Of course I follow you on TikTok. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I really have street cred now because somebody who knows, knows. So here's the real story, though. Enough of the lightness. My friend told a heart-wrenching story on stage about how in middle school, her friends introduced her to the new doctor on General Hospital, played by Rick Springfield, who eventually had a singing career. And a few months into becoming, or I think maybe a month after becoming obsessed with him, as any middle school girl would do, her father suddenly died. And she said, what Rick represents for me is everything that was normal in my life before it wasn't. And she talks about what she describes as her obsession with him. And I would tell you, it's an anxious attachment with a surrogate attachment figure. Her obsession, or fan-like obsession, she even had at her birthday party, at her 50th birthday party, laminated posters from her teenage bedroom of Rick Springfield that her mother had saved. And she said, I laminated them so you guys wouldn't get them dirty. She was so obsessed. And then she tells a story how she got to interview him once as a news reporter. I want to tell you how I understand this. So first of all, you know, I had this childhood where my dad was gone in the Navy a lot, and my mom was overwhelmed with three little kids, often on foreign military bases, and my brothers basically beaten the heck out of me. And when I was lonely and missing him, like my model for love was mixed in with this longing for my dad. So I imagine my friend with her dad actually died, the amount of longing mixed in. And for me, it wasn't the doctor on General Hospital. We had another show in my day, I must be a little older, called Marcus Welby, MD. Do you remember it? You remember it? Okay, you know who I'm going to talk about, right? Dr. Kylie. Oh, yes, Dr. Kylie. He was the young, hot doctor on Marcus Welby, MD. Kayla, you weren't even born. You weren't even an embryo then, so you might want to just Google that and you can see his hot picture.
I'm Googling right now, Dr. Wendy.
And so, and you'll learn who he is in just a second, who he turned out to be in the end. And so I would lie in bed at night feeling lonely and sad and missing my dad and maybe having moved to a new city and not having friends. And all I would imagine is Dr. Kylie coming to the side of the bed and sitting there and holding my hand like the good doctor he was on that TV show. I was obsessed. And that was my surrogate attachment figure. So if you did have in your teenage life a teen idol, an obsession, please know that in our mental health, that performs a very important function. It helps keep us whole. It's no different than a mental teddy bear, right? Something to hold us close. And it is not, I don't think, coincidental that both my friend's teen idol, Rick Springfield, and mine, Dr. Kylie, were both doctors, right? These caring characters who took care of people. And he turned out to be, what's the name of the actor? James Brolin.
I had no idea who he was, but he's very handsome.
Okay, well, you might know his son, who's in a whole bunch of other movies of your generation. James Brolin ended up being, I don't know if he married her or they're just longtime partners, of Barbara Streisand. So one day, I'm a news reporter. I'm on a red carpet. My Dr. Kylie days are long behind me. I didn't even know the actor's name in real life. He was only Dr. Kylie to me. I was a little girl. And now I'm in L.A., you know, 4,000 miles from Nova Scotia, Canada, where Dr. Kylie lived in my dreams. And I'm on a red carpet in Hollywood for some kind of movie premiere with my microphone. And walking towards me, they go, oh, there's Barbara Streisand. Get Barbara Streisand. Get a soundbite from Barbara Streisand. I do not see Barbara Streisand. I do not see her at all. Because the angel that is walking towards my microphone is Dr. Kylie. Honestly, my knees shook. My body felt this in such a huge way. I could barely talk. I had tears in the back of my eyeballs because what it represented was all my feelings of loss and love as a little girl. And so in the same way, when my friend last night at her birthday party introduced Rick Springfield and he came out with a bouquet of flowers for her and gave her a hug, I thought she was going to lose her mind. If you want to see her dancing and losing her mind, it's on my TikTok. Yes, I did a little video and I put it on TikTok. And I talked about how, and okay, can we just stop for 1 minute? I looked up Rick Springfield on Google to find out how old he is because he defies all nature. He is 72 and he looks 40, like literally looks 40. He looks so good. No, no, go see the video I have on my TikTok at Dr. Wendy Walsh on TikTok. You will not believe how young he looks and how happy my sweet friend Laura was. Because this was a poor substitute for the loss of her father. But I'm so glad she had it. All right, when we come back, I don't know why, but people have been asking me a lot about cheating. How to prevent cheating, how to recover after cheating, affairs, affairs, affairs. We're going to sit back and talk about what the science says about all our affairs. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. That bathroom polo. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you, and I love to talk about the science of love. Listen, from the outset, I gotta say something. Cheating is not on the rise. Monogamy is, in fact, natural. Now, want to say that right off the top. And you're all going, what, what? At least the men are going, what? What do you mean? The truth is that we are having very long life expectancies. And when you professed until death do us part back in the year 1900, the average length of that marriage was 12 years. That's as long as you had to be faithful. That's all you were signing up for. 12 years. And you know what? What it took to get a kid, because of people were dying, right? Death, disease, wars, whatever. You got it, right? In 1990, the same deal. If you professed at an altar to say, we'll be together and faithful until death do us part, that marriage was about 12 years. Because now we're separating by divorce. What is most natural for us is a kind of serial monogamy. Now, the difference is, in our anthropological past, when we had a couple kids in the nest, we had an extended family help raising that those children, right? We were cooperative breeders is what we are. But secondly, what it took to get up and out of the nest wasn't a whole lot of education, right? You had to like know how to hunt a bit, know what berries were poison, know how to build a fire, know how to build a tarp of leaves for shelter when it rained. That's what our hunter-gatherers did for hundreds of thousands of years. And so as a result, kids hit puberty at the age of 10 or 12, and before you know it, they were popping out babies, and they had grandma around helping because grandma was only 24. Right? So the problem now is we got to keep the nest intact for so darn long. I mean, for a kid to be able to be self-sufficient, earn their own living, reproduce healthy kids, and have enough money to feed those kids, they've got to be like through what, 13 years of school? I counted kindergarten there. And then maybe college, 30% of them go to college. So you might want to stay together for 20 years, right? That's why the divorce rate now hits 50% at the 20-year mark. When you're approaching that empty nest, people are like, okay, well, we've done our work here. Our work's been done. Time to move on. And so this whole idea that you're going to meet a soulmate early in life, you're going to have a romantic wedding, you're going to profess that you will stay together until death do you part, and you will stay together for 60 more years, that is so unlikely, so difficult to attain. And I hear you right now, but my grandparents did. But my grandparents did. Okay, that is called anecdotal evidence. And there were a few. And also, were their relationships really that happy? Like, can we talk about that? There was a lot of domestic violence going on. There was a lot of alcoholism. Look, those 50s housewives were given methamphetamines by their doctors to keep doing everything that they had to do. They were washing clothes with like a washboard. They were making, they couldn't buy a loaf of bread. You were building it. I'm talking about maybe 30s, 40s, 1930s, 40s. Anyway, so there's a lot of talk about cheating, open marriages, affairs, and I want to dismiss a lot of it to say that here's the problem. We are living longer than our marriages, than our relationships. Now, having said that, it doesn't mean that you can't do some things to help affair-proof your marriage. There's lots of researchers at universities all over the world doing research on relationship science to figure out what is it that works. What is it that keeps people together and relatively happy, right? So let's talk first of all about the contributing factors to having an affair. Like, what are the big red flags that let you know, it could be on the horizon in my marriage? Lack of affection. If you're not touching each other, you're losing the neurochemical bond, the dopamine, the serotonin, the norepinephrine, the oxytocin, the cuddle hormone. That's what you get when you do a long-term hug and a cuddle. Now, I have learned that 25% of married couples don't even sleep in the same bedroom anymore. So let's get back to affection. That's because of snoring. That's the number one reason, they say, by the way. Maybe loss of fondness and caring for each other. Some people are on the horizon to have an affair if there's an imbalance in the give and take. If somebody's doing too much work and they're feeling it's unfair in this relationship, they're going to look for a little slap and tickle somewhere so that they can feel good, right? But here's the big one for women. Gentlemen, listen closely. if emotional needs are not met. Well, I say that, you know, I say men listen because women like to have their emotional needs met. But there's this other research study I read that said that the main reason why men have affairs isn't for the sex. It's for the emotional connection because their wife doesn't listen to them anymore. And the person they're having an affair with sees them, hears them, listens to them, pays attention to them. We need to start paying attention to each other. Okay, I've got more when we come back. Three signs that you have crossed the line into infidelity that you might not even know has happened. And there's also a little test you can take that I'm going to tell you about that is the propensity toward infidelity scale. Get your pens ready. You're going to keep score for yourself. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. I'm going to keep your love life together. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. If you are listening live, you are probably in Southern California. If you are watching live, you are probably on TikTok right now. And for my local listeners, you missed what happened during the commercial break. I found out I've got listeners right now in Paris, in Italy, in Australia, in Las Vegas, in Maryland, in South Carolina. How am I doing for my memories, Kayla?
You are amazing.
So TikTok listeners and watchers, please tell me where you're watching from. It's always fun to see where you are. Oh, Manila. Hello. Hello, Canada. You know I'm Canadian too. And you're a big fan of KFI. Wonderful. Hi, New York. Hello, Egypt. I love TikTok. Okay. We are talking about affairs and why affairs happen in relationships and what makes some couples more vulnerable to affairs. We mentioned lack of affection, lack of fondness and caring for each other, but maybe one of the partners is suffering from a mental illness or addiction or depression, and so they go and seek that comfort. Remember, the neurohormones that come along with sex are like drugs to our brain, right? And they're trying, some people, when they're in a low, need a little boost. I'm not advocating that anyone have an affair, by the way. I'm just saying these are the things we should watch out for as making relationships particularly vulnerable. But the biggest one is unaddressed marital issues or relationship issues around intimacy. I posted a TikTok video earlier today where I said that the one thing that keeps people from cheating, according to science, is emotional intimacy. It's not willpower. It's not this intellectual, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay faithful to my love. It is having a deep emotional connection to your partner, and in that case, feeling like tremendous guilt and worry. Now, there is a test called the propensity toward infidelity scale. And depending how strongly you feel about the following statements, get ready, I'm going to read them out. This tells me how vulnerable your relationship is to having an affair. Okay, so here's the first statement. Listen closely, Kayla. If my spouse is unfaithful, it would seem natural for me to want to have an extramarital relationship. Oh, that good for the goose, it's good for the gander argument. I know that rationalization. How about, well, when I flirt with other people, it makes me feel wanted.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Some people think that, Kayla.
That's wild.
They do. How about this? A lot of guys think this. Well, the lack of sexual relations with my spouse is the reason that I had to cheat, right? That person wasn't taking care of my needs. I want to stop right there. It's not somebody else's responsibility to take care of your sexual needs. It's for you and the couple to discuss these things together, have good sexual communication, see a therapist if you need to, and find a way to compromise. How about this? It is plausible for me to have a relationship with someone else than my spouse if I feel bonded to her. Oh, yeah. So people will say, but it wasn't an affair because we were in love. Or they'll say, it just happened, you know, because love drew us in. No, you drew yourself in. You walked in there, okay? No, no, no. If there's love, you know how you know it's an affair? If there's deception. If there's deception, it's an affair. How about this one? My spouse's long-term absence would make me engage in relationships with other people. Like, again, it's their fault. It's them who's supposed to take care of your sexual needs. No, 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 no. You're responsible for you. If I knew that my spouse would never find out, then I would have an affair. That's terrible. But if you feel strongly about any of these statements, it means that you're particularly vulnerable to having an affair. And here's my favorite, or least favorite, depending on how you look at it. The fact that other married friends have had extramarital friends makes me think it can happen to me. In other words, I do know this, that all kinds of habits, health habits and otherwise, divorce for sure, is really contagious amongst social circles. So yeah, there are some people who think, well, it's going around. They're cheating. I should get to cheat. I'm feeling left out. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay, here's how to know that you're about to have an affair and stop yourself, okay? Emotional intimacy. Are you sharing more of your feelings with somebody else than your partner? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a coworker, a backup mate, somebody in your Instagram DMs, if you're sharing your emotional feelings with somebody that's not your partner, you are hyper vulnerable to being to having an affair. And the second one is secrecy. Do you close your screen, close up your computer when your partner walks in the room? Are you hiding things in from them electronically? Then you're on the verge of having an affair and your relationship might break down because of it. All right. I also want to talk. I haven't been listening to David in the time. David, where are we at? Oh, 2 minutes. Look, I got a 1 minute from Kayla and a two from David. We're somewhere in there. I want to talk about how you can affair-proof your relationship. Besides being aware of these things that make you more vulnerable to having an affair, there are some things that you can actively do to make your relationship more secure. Now, as I said earlier, the research is clear. The number one reason why people don't have affairs is because they love their spouse or their partner, their girlfriend, boyfriend, and they have close emotional intimacy. They know how much it would hurt their partner if they had an affair. And that's what keeps them glued. It is not, you know, I'm going to have willpower or I'm going to do it, whatever. It's that they care because they're inside the heart and soul of their partner. Someone asked me today on TikTok, well, how do you build emotional intimacy? You be the brave one and be vulnerable first. From the very beginning, you express your feelings early on and you look for reciprocity. You try to get your partner to open up because you know what? Someone asked me once when I had a private practice, do you practice like child psychology or adult psychology? And I'm like, it's all child psychology. And when you're in an intimate relationship with somebody, it's like two tender babies connecting at their most vulnerable. All right, when we come back, I've got 6 tips to help you affair-proof your relationship. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You can follow me anywhere on my social media at Dr. Wendy Walsh. KFI AM 640 Los Angeles. I am Dr. Wendy Walsh. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. I'm also live all around the globe on TikTok. Kayla, where do we see them now? Switzerland, Norway, South Africa, Philippines.
Literally all over the world.
Morocco.
Every single country is watching you right now.
They're all here.
Yeah.
TikTok's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Okay. And of course, I will never forget my most important Southern California KFI listeners. We have some KFI listeners on TikTok too because they've been saying, we love KFI. We love KFI. No matter where you're watching from, you can download the iHeartRadio app, search KFI AM 640, and then look for the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I'm live, live, live. Okay. How to affair-proof your relationship according to science. There are a few things you can do to reduce the chance that one of you will have an affair. The most important thing is to stay affectionate, to be touching each other all the time, whether you're holding hands. And it's sort of a joke. My boyfriend and I are always holding hands everywhere. We're always hugging each other and touching toes. We're just like, if we're watching a movie, our legs are all over each other. I mean, that, you see, what happens is these neurohormones get released through the skin, through touch. We are meant to be bonded with other people. It's good for us. It's good for our health. So if you've been in a relationship that's starting to get a bit stale, one of the easiest things you can do is just to start touching frequently again. It's very important. All right. Schedule those date nights. I know it sounds like pressure because you're into your routine and maybe you're raising kids and everybody's tired, but you have to get out of your rut. You have to get out of your routine. I would say at least once a month, ideally twice a month, get out together and do something novel. So I noticed, like, my boyfriend and I always have breakfast together every Saturday morning because we've been together from Friday night. And we started this trend. It's now become a trend in our relationship where we drive to a different part of town. Now, if you're not in Los Angeles, you don't know. Los Angeles is this giant horizontal city. It's sprawling. You could drive for hours and still be in the city, depending on traffic. And so there are all these unique little neighborhoods, and everybody's got their own special little breakfast place on a Saturday morning. They're easy to find because there's always a lineup outside the best breakfast place in every, you know, whether this time we just went to Santa Monica up on Montana. Last week was El Segundo. A few weeks before, we were up in Thousand Oaks. A few weeks before, we were in Pasadena. These are all, you know, local towns that have their own feel, their own interest, and it feels novel to us because the research shows that if you just stick your partner in a new location, it looks like a whole new movie to you. They look attractive to you, just doing something novel. Speaking of doing something novel, here's something that you don't have to do that's so novel. You just have to schedule intimacy. Yes, I'm talking about physical intimacy. You know why I don't say the word sex very much? Because on TikTok, the bots hear it, and then I start to get shadow banned. I know. They're all about joy and goodness, and they confuse my science of relationships with something, you know, nefarious, you know, that happens on social media. So let's talk about scheduling physical intimacy. Even if you don't want to, you've got to put it on the calendar. And here's why. So foreplay for men takes about 40 seconds, 20 on a good night. Women, you know, we're like a crock pot. You guys are a microwave oven, okay? We may take 2 or 3 days to get in the mood. We need to think about it. We need to think about our fantasy. We need to be find, like, the place has to be clean. The kids have to be with childcare. We may need to take a bath or maybe some shaving that needs to happen. Whatever. It may take us. But if we know it's coming up, because the guys are always like, oh, I want my wife to be spontaneous. Sorry, dude. Spontaneous sex happened when you were dating. It's never going to happen again. Sorry. Just let that go. Let that one go right now. Schedule it and stick to that schedule. I think it's very important. And there could be fun in the scheduling. You can negotiate certain kinds of acts for certain kinds of dates. Who's the giver? Who's the taker? You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. This is the most important thing. They're all the most important to me, but this is another really, 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 really important one. To protect your relationship against affairs. You can't keep secrets. You can't. You know, I learned this when I was in psychotherapy school in my PhD program. I learned that when a couple's therapist is a therapist to a couple, her patient or his patient is the relationship. And so what will inevitably happen is one of the partners will call a therapist and tell them a secret. Well, look, my wife doesn't know this, but actually I've been seeing someone on the side for 6 months and I know we're near divorce. I'd like to repair this marriage, but you should know that a good couple's therapist will never, ever keep a secret because their patient is the relationship. And relationships should have no secrets because that is deception. Look, if I found out that my boyfriend lied to me about anything, even if it was like, you know, how much ice cream he had last night, if he didn't fess up about the truth, Julio, I know you love ice cream. I'm just saying, and I'm quite aware, and I'm worried about you and the ice cream thing. Just saying. But if you tried to hide it and lie to me, then I wouldn't know what else you're lying about. It would cause this breakdown of trust across the board in relationships. You know, I have to tell you a story. My mother's been dead for 20 years and maybe more now. And back in the 1940s, she had a teenage pregnancy that she told nobody about. And back in those days, long before the internet, if you mailed a letter, it took a month to get there. She took a train 1,000 miles, lived with her older sister, and gave birth to that baby and gave it up for adoption. 20 years after her death, I found my brother. I didn't even know he existed, but her sister gave this little deathbed disclosure. But anyway, I was so angry. She was dead, and I was angry because I thought, if she lied to me about this, I can't trust anything else she told me. Like, it damages the whole relationship. Okay, when we come back, there's a lot of talk about whether open marriages can work. Actors Jada Pinkett and Will Smith have opened up that conversation for us. Let me break down the science for you when we come back. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show or watching it on TikTok. We are live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app on KFI AM 640. But right now, Mark Roner's got the news for us.